Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward, and today I am so excited to have the most amazing man in the world on our show today. This is John Morrow. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
And again, I have to thank Alex Sharfin, who introduced me to you. And I just was so touched by his introduction. Alex has become a real good friend, and I've known him for quite some time. We've done a lot of different things together. But I was asking him, I said, no, I want someone who just can really inspire people, who can help entrepreneurs really build their business, who's had success at building a business, but also has had success as far as just life success. And he goes, oh my gosh, let me introduce you to John. And again, for those of you guys who don't know John, he's got some amazing sites out there already. Again, smartblogger.com. If you haven't been to smartblogger.com, go to smartblogger.com. But also his latest project is unstoppable.me. Just an amazing site. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But you have to understand, I mean, John, you've had, what, over 200 million people view your content? Is that right?
Yeah, throughout my career, I've been blessed enough which is just about 8 years or so now. Either the posts I've written or the posts that I've edited for other writers to be published, it's up over 200 million now.
And I think, you know, first of all, I can't even conceive how large 200 million is. I mean, it just blows my mind that it's reached that many people. And that's amazing in and of itself. But the part I think people don't understand is you've done all of that through voice editing, correct?
Yes. So I have a form of muscular dystrophy called SMA, spinal muscular atrophy is the official term. And basically what it means is, a lot of people have probably seen the telethons and things to raise money for kids with muscular dystrophy. And I have full sensation all over my body, but ever since I was a kid, I've just grown weaker. And now, as an adult, I'm in my 30s, and I'm very healthy, very successful. But I'm one of the oldest people with my type of the disease. And I can't really move anything but my face at this point. So from the neck down, I still have full sensation, so it's not quite like being paralyzed, but I can't move anything. And so what that means is I operate the computer by speech recognition software, and it's been that way for the entire 8 years that I've been publishing online. And I also have a lip-operated mouse that I had custom-built for me years ago that I have in front of me right now that I operate with my lips that allows me to move the mouse around on the screen. So that's how I've done everything.
John, I'm just so impressed because I run across people all the time who give excuses, and I just absolutely hate excuses. I'm just like – it drives me crazy because I find so many people who have so many other obstacles in their way who are able to make things happen. And so for me, there's never an excuse. It's just the will isn't strong enough. And I've just been so impressed with what you've done. I mean, 200 million visitors to a ton of posts. You've worked with Neil Patel and helped build Kissmetrics. And the thing that was so touching to me, honestly, I read this. I've shared it already on my Facebook page. I mean, I have it linked here to on this podcast as well, was – the article that you put together in December, basically, as far as the 7 life lessons from a guy who can't move anything but his face. I was so touched by that because I'm like, as entrepreneurs, it's a real lonely world. And yet at the same time, there's so much passion behind entrepreneurs who really want to go out and make things happen. And John, as I read that, I went through that. It was a crazy thing. It brought tears to my eyes. And yet at the same time, there were tears of – I went through like a million emotions of tears of, oh my gosh, that kind of sucks. And yet at the same time, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. And so I had this crazy roller coaster of emotions as I read through this. And if you don't mind, I'd love just to kind of cover those 7 things if you're okay with that.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
So the first life lesson you basically had was, if you can't win the game, change the rules, which I love that life lesson. So can you give people a little insight as far as what that means?
Yeah, years ago, I mean, before I started doing all of this, I was on Medicaid. And Medicaid works differently in different states, but it's healthcare for people who are poor, right? And it was the only way that I could pay for my medical bills. Most people don't know this, but if you need caregivers with you, if you need like nurses, private insurance won't pay for that, even if you medically require it. The only way that I could get it was through Medicaid. And I mean, it costs several hundred thousand dollars a year. And there was no other way I could pay for it. The problem is Medicaid in the state of North Carolina at the time also limited me to $800 a month of income, which, I mean, that's like nothing, right? I could barely survive on that, but it was the only way to get the help I needed. And I'm very grateful for that help, by the way. I don't want there to be any misconceptions that I'm angry. I'm grateful that I could get help in any shape or form. But it was also a trap, right? It's a trap that millions of disabled people are caught in right now. And the only way I could figure out to get out of that trap was to actually move to Mexico, where healthcare costs were cheaper. And so what I did is I actually started out writing for free for a site called Copyblogger, which became one of the biggest online marketing sites out there. And my deal with Brian was, who's the founder of Copyblogger, is, listen, I'll write for you for free, but if I do a good job, if I write a lot of really popular posts, one of these days I'm going to ask for a favor, and you can't say no. Was kind of the deal. And I was trusting him, and he's totally been worthy of that trust, by the way. And I wrote for, I think it was about a year, and I became the most popular writer on the site. And from there, when I moved down to Mexico, I called Brian up and I said, remember how I said one day I would ask you for a favor? Well, now it's time to cash in. And what I asked him to do, I mean, it's one of the biggest online marketing sites out there. I said, I want you to tell people that I'm now doing blog consulting, and I want you to email the Copyblogger list. And he emailed the list, and within 24 hours, I had 300 clients off of that list. I was making six figures down in Mexico just from doing consulting. And I lived on the beach. I paid for nurses. A nurse that works like in the ICU of a hospital down in Mazatlan, Mexico, which is where I was, they make about $4 an hour. It's like the top wage. One that works in a clinic makes about $2 an hour. And this is for a nurse with a 4-year registered nursing degree.
Crazy.
Okay. So I paid $4 an hour, cut my pick of whatever nurses I wanted. And basically lived in paradise down there. A doctor was to go see the you could see a doctor that had just finished med school and was doing like their residency for $3. You could get a house call from like the top specialist in the city for $20. They'd come to your house. So that's the way I lived for 3.5 years, but eventually I got homesick and I decided to come back to the US. So that's a very long story, told very quickly, but yeah, that's what it meant.
I love it. And again, I want everybody to go go to unstoppable.me, take a look at it. I'll have the link here as well. The other lesson I love is lesson number 4, which was the art of the counterpunch. Do you mind explaining that?
Sure. So all of us have times in life where we feel like we've been punched in the face and where you get knocked on your butt, right? And I have gone through just as much of that, if not more than most people, right? And one of the things that I've learned is that whenever you get punched, just like if you get in the ring, now I'm not an expert on boxing, but from what I do understand about it, whenever a boxer is winding up to throw a punch, the bigger the punch, the bigger the opening they leave. So if they just throw a little jab, they really don't leave themselves very open. But if they wind up for a big punch to knock you out, they leave themselves open during that time. When my experience, life works the same way. Whenever you get punched, there's always a counterpunch available where you can turn it to your advantage. And during my life, I've done that over and over and over again. Just take this interview right now. I mean, did I have a very rough time overcoming everything I've overcome? Absolutely. But it's also the reason why I'm talking to you today. It's given me a fantastic story. And that fantastic story is now inspiring millions of people, and it's also made me a lot of money. It's made me millions of dollars, right? Other simple examples. When I was in a car accident in 2016. So I was already in the wheelchair, was in a car accident, got 17 broken bones, and was laid up for like 6 months and didn't know what I was going to do with myself. But all of a sudden I said, hey, I have time to write. Right? That was the counterpunch. I'm laid up, got nothing else to do. Well, why don't I use all of this free time? The free time was the advantage in that situation. And in my experience, the advantage of any is always proportionate to the disadvantage. So if you get
a cool outlook, I love that outlook on life.
Yeah. I mean, so if you get hit with something really hard, the bigger the blow that you just took means the bigger the opportunity is sitting right there in front of you. So you just have to find it and train yourself to find it, because in my experience, it's always there.
I love that. The last lesson I want to make sure we address is one of the things I'm totally passionate about, and that's your lesson number 6, which was embrace the crazy. What does that mean?
So that means if you're ever going to do anything extraordinary in your life, you have to be comfortable with the idea that other people are going to call you crazy. And some of the things you do might even be a little bit crazy. It was crazy for me to move down to Mexico without knowing for sure whether, you know, I was going to have any way to make money. I was broke. I mean, I went off of living on $800 a month, literally packed everything I owned into a van, went down there with my poor mother, who was also broke, okay? And we literally had no plan B. That was not something a sane person does, right? But sometimes you have to do crazy things. I mean, for me to become a popular writer, it's one of the stories I didn't tell on the Post, I don't think. But when I went to work at Copyblogger, Brian told me, John, you've got to get really good at writing headlines for your Post. So hopefully all of your listeners by now, they know headlines are one of the most important things, whether it's on a landing page, blog post, whatever. Well, Brian said, John, I want you to write 100 headlines a day. And at the end of 30 days, come and see me and we'll talk about them. So I said, wow, you know, 100 a day, that's a lot, but sure, okay. And so I went back and every day I did my 100 headlines. And at the end of a month, I went to him and said, here are my 3,000 headlines. And he said, You know, I've told that to every new writer at Copyblogger. You're the first one that's actually done it. And to a lot of people, writing 100 headlines a day is crazy. Why would anyone write 100 headlines a day? But that's how I became really good at writing headlines. And not only did I learn a lot from doing it for 30 days, I said, you know what? I'll continue this for a year. So for an entire year, wrote 100 headlines a day, wrote over 35,000 headlines my first year. People ask me, John, how did you become so good at writing these viral headlines? I wrote 35,000 my first year. Okay? So it's doing crazy things that allow you to accomplish crazy goals. That's how it happens.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So let's talk about content now, because I know this is one of the things a lot of our listeners and everyone else I run across always struggles with, as far as the whole content thing and how important content marketing really is and how much time do I have to spend on content. What are some of the tips that you've learned as far as content marketing that's created such opportunity for you in your life?
The first thing is that there is nothing better for building influence than content. That's actually the objective of content. So this is a huge lesson, but it's such a subtle one that I'll try to explain it. A lot of people that approach content marketing think that they're doing it to get free traffic. They say, I want to publish articles so I can get people to come to my website for free, and then I'll convert them into opt-ins or whatever, or into customers, and that's their business model. That's not how content works. Yes, it might get people into your website, but what content is good at more than anything else is building influence, whether it's on the front end and you're publishing it to try to get ranked in the search engines, or whether it's in the middle of your funnel, where after someone opts in, you send them content to build influence, or even toward the end where you're trying to influence them to buy the sale. Okay, so the biggest question that you can answer is, what do I want the person to do after they're done reading this content or watching this video or whatever it is? And then once you figure out what it is you want them to do, then what you do is you engineer the content for that purpose. So like the post that we talked about that went viral, the life lessons one, I engineered that post from day one to go viral. That was my intention. My other intention for the post was to give people a story so incredible that they would never forget it, and that they would talk about it with all their friends, and that not only that they would be inspired, that they would trust me, and that they would want to listen to every word that I said. That basically,
no, that's awesome.
Yeah. So my goal, I mean, to put it very succinctly, and this is a little bit oversimplification, my goal was to make every reader fall in love with me after they read that post. And we got over 3,000 emails into our help desk with people we call them love letters, that people telling me their life story, talking about how inspired they were. So I engineered it from day one. Now, if my goal was to rank in the search engines, I would engineer it for that purpose. So that's the biggest thing, is know exactly what you're trying to influence people to do, and then engineer your content to do exactly that.
I love it. Again, the article we're talking about is 7 Life Lessons from a Guy Who Can't Move Anything But His Face. Amazing, amazing headline. And again, you can find it at unstoppable.me. But the cool thing, I'm taking a look here, this thing's been shared 75,000 times, 72,000 times on Facebook, 3,000 on Twitter, and 631 comments. I mean, that is so, so much content. But most importantly, the influence. I mean, I think of it being shared 75,000 times, and how many other people must have seen that content. You've got to be into the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have seen this content. And I love how you've engineered it. So what are some of the other tips or tricks? Again, you're the master at content marketing. So what are some other tips you can give our listeners when it comes to content marketing?
So the next thing is to go for quality and not quantity. This is one thing that's changed in the last few years. The only way you should go for quantity, meaning publish a whole bunch of articles, is if you're Forbes or the Huffington Post, where those sites, the reason why they publish, I mean, I think it's in some cases like 1,000 articles a day.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
They're trying to publish as much as they can. And the reason why is it's throw as much as we can at the wall and hopefully something will stick and get us a little bit of traffic. And then they make money off of the page views. So the advertising, they're every time someone loads the page, they're making money. So their goal is to get as much traffic as possible. Now, here's the question. Those sites, how many people that are publishing 1,000, you know, maybe not all of those articles are crappy, but the vast majority of those articles are crappy. Okay. Those articles are generating no influence. Even if they generate traffic. I mean, one way to think about this is imagine if you put a funny cat video up on the website to advertise your accounting firm. It would probably get traffic. People love funny cat videos. They share them with their friends. But even if it got you 10 million visitors, it probably wouldn't get you a single customer because it's generating no influence, right? The better way to go about it is to very, very deliberately craft the best article ever written on a topic that your audience really wants to know about. And then to go out and spread it as far as you can. One article that's the best article on that topic ever published will do more and generate more influence for you than 10,000 crappy articles. Okay? So focus instead of I'm going to publish every day, and this is how we're going to work on the search engines. That's not how it works. Not if you want to generate influence. Not if you want to make a sale. The way it works if you want to make a sale is to be the person that they say, whenever I want to know the answer, I go to this site because they always have the best content.
That's awesome.
That's how you win.
That's great advice. So with so many different types of content being produced these days, whether it's, again, we're talking right now primarily about blogs and articles. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff on social media, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. What do you find when people are looking for content and for trying to gain that influence? What are some of the best things that you've learned as far as different types of media to use?
So as far as social media goes, just understanding traffic in general. Okay, I think it was Business Insider. They recently published an infographic that it showed the amount of traffic on the web referred by source. The number one source is Google. Okay, number two source by a very close margin was Facebook. The number three source I think was Twitter. But Twitter was like 90% lower than Facebook. So what that – and all of the rest of the traffic sources on the web. So if you take all of the other like top, I don't know, 50 referral sites, they didn't like add up to Google and Facebook. So there's this huge drop-off. So really the name of the game these days for getting traffic is really to focus on Google and Facebook is the answer. I mean, yes, there are sites like Instagram and Pinterest and in certain cases, in certain markets, if you have like highly visual topics, like interior design or fashion, those types of things can work really, really well. But if you're a beginner, you want to go to where the traffic is. So just another quick little thing. When I was graduating from college, I told my dad that I wanted to figure out how to make some money. And my dad had been a successful real estate developer. And what he told me is, he said, John, if you want to make money, go find a river of money that's already flowing and go stand in the middle of it and just scoop up as much as you can. He said, that's what you do. That's what you do. He said, but you never try to make the river change course. He said, you just stand in the middle of the river that's already going. And what a lot of people don't realize is there are really only two rivers of traffic. It's Google and Facebook. Go stand on one of those, focus on that, and chances are you'll be okay.
I love that. Great advice. So as you take a look at some of the stuff that you're working on, the projects that you're working on, as far as coming up with content, how do you come up with the content that you come up with?
So it all comes down to what am I trying to accomplish? So depending on the site, depending on what I'm doing, if my goal – the three basic objectives are search engine traffic, social media traffic, or building a bond with your existing audience. Typically, a post will only accomplish one of those three objectives. It's theoretically possible to accomplish all three, but almost impossible for most people unless they are extremely good writers. You're better off choosing which of those objectives you want to do. So like the post that we talked about, the Seven Life Lessons one, I engineered that one for social. That post does not get a lot of search engine traffic. It wasn't designed for that. On the other hand, I have posts like we rank in the top three for make money blogging on SmartBlogger. And that post was engineered to rank high for make money blogging. It gets like, I think, 50,000 visitors a month or something just from that one post in that one search engine ranking. And so when I'm creating a post that way, I do things that the search engines want me to do. So if it's on social, I generally focus on the science of virality, about which is mostly about emotion, by the way. The more emotion you can make people feel, in general, the better something does on social media. That's way oversimplifying it, but that's the simplest way to understand it. With search engines, it's about two things. And this is all of SEO condensed down into a very simple statement. Write the best content ever published on the topic and get the biggest influencers in your space to link to it. If you do those two things, you will rank 100% of the time.
Now, so how do you get those to link to you? Because that's one of the things I get questions about all the time.
Yes, it is difficult. And it comes down, again, though, to a few things. Number one, if your post genuinely is the best, if it genuinely is the best, then and they're going to link to anyone, they're going to link to you, right? So if you're already the best, you shouldn't have any shame about reaching out to them and saying, hey, you know, I noticed that you write a lot on this topic. I just published this and, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I genuinely believe it's the best article ever published on this topic. Could you take a glance for 30 seconds? And if you like it, could you just share it with your audience? If it's genuinely the best, they will. Okay. Most influencers, like I get emails all the time from people who want me to share their stuff. It's almost never the best article ever written on the topic. Almost never. And whatever it is, I share it 100% of the time. Okay. And most other influencers are the same way. So you can send a cold email to an influential person and get them to share your work, but it has to be genuinely worthy of the attention that you're trying to get for it.
That's awesome. So how do you find these influencers?
There are a few different ways. And again, it comes down to your objective. For search engines, what you're looking for is links from sites that have high domain authority. So it's one of the ways that people evaluate the power in the search engines that a site has. It's sort of a metric for Google. Okay, it's not the same thing as PageRank. But domain authority is like, how big is the authority of the site as a whole? You want as many links as you can get from high domain authority sites. Now, typically, those sites will be multi-author. So, for example, if you can get a link from Forbes, right? Forbes has thousands of different writers for them. You don't have to convince the editor-in-chief to link to you. You just have to convince one writer out of their thousands of writers, right? So it's really not that difficult. But if you want to rank in the search engines, the answer is basically anyone writing for any of the most authoritative sites. If you want to get shared on social media, it's the pages, for the most part, the pages on Facebook that have, number one, the biggest audiences, but also the highest engagement scores. So what Facebook publishes, what they show, and I've actually seen this just over the past few days, it's been disappearing and reappearing. So I don't know if they're doing some kind of work on it, but they have the percentage of people, or they have the number of people that like a page and the number of people talking about a page. If you see 1 million people like a page, but only 50,000 people are talking about it, that means it's a junk page. That means the majority of their traffic is very disengaged. On the other hand, if they have 1 million people and they've got 500,000 talking about it, or even 200,000 talking about it, now we're talking. That's engaged traffic. So that's who you want to get a link from.
Man, that's awesome. Well, John, you are such a wealth of knowledge. And I want to make sure people have the opportunity of reaching out to you. What's the best way for them to be able to connect with you?
They can head over to smartblogger.com, and we have lots of great articles there. Feel free to opt in. There's even a cheat sheet for writing headlines if you want to know more about those 35,000 lessons that I learned from writing all of those headlines over the years. But otherwise, yeah, I just hope you guys enjoy the content, and I hope I've been helpful to you today.
You're amazing. And again, that's smartblogger.com. And definitely also check out unstoppable.me/life-lessons. I'll put the links to all this down in the show notes for sure. John, again, you're such an amazing man. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day to spend time on our podcast. Again, any parting words?
Just thank you for having me. And anyone who wants to learn how to do this, you totally can. Just expect to put in the work and write your own 35,000 headlines. And this is a viable path. Okay?
I love it, John. Thanks again, bud. Appreciate it, Tom.
All right. Yep.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.